Be'ezer Shem Yisbeuch, we begin Perek Shleisha Asr, the 13th chapter in the Hilchas Machalas Asurus, in the laws of forbidden foods, in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha, which we continue the theme of the previous Perakim, discussing that of Yayin Nesach, where specifically here we discuss when the wine is in the domain of the Gentile, and also the monetary value of the Yayin Nesach. The Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding watching over the wine in the courtyard where the Gentile is. As the Rambam says, Halacha Aleph, Halakech Bais. Someone purchases a house, or Yishasocha Bais, or rents a house, in the courtyard of the Gentile, umalohu yain, and he fills up the house full with wine. So Israeli, if the Jew lived in that courtyard where he had another house that he boarded that he rented, so Ava Pisha Pesach Basuach, so although the entrance to that house where he has all the wine is open, Ayain Mutter, the wine is permitted. Because the Gentile is constantly afraid, and he says, "Ati kanzla beis epissim." The Jew suddenly going to walk. He lives here in the courtyard. He's suddenly going to walk into the house. The yimtzai is to protect beis. He's going to find me in his house. He's like, "What are you doing over here?" So he's afraid to just walk in. But if the Jew lived in another courtyard, lo yetze, then the Jew is not allowed to leave. Actually, yizgar beis until he locks the house. That he has a key and a seal in his hand. So those are two signs, what's known as chesim b'teich chesim, which Ram is going to explain later on, a double seal. And he doesn't have to be concerned that maybe the Gentile is going to forge a copy of the key to the house. As long as he has two seals, he can then leave the courtyard. Halacha beis. Now let's say yotze b'lei sagar pesach. Let's say he left and he didn't close the entrance. Or he did close the entrance, but he left the key in the hand of the Gentile. The wine is forbidden to drink. Now, because it's a situation of doubt, the benefit is going to be permitted, but the drinking is going to be forbidden. And the reason is, maybe the Gentile went in and he poured the wine for idolatrous purposes. The Jew's not there. Now, the Amalei Rebbe tells him, hold on to this key for me until I come. Hayayin mutter, the wine's permitted. Shleimasle shmiras abayis. He didn't give him over the watching, the safeguarding of the house. Shmiras mafteich. Rather, the safeguarding of the key. So therefore, the Gentile's afraid to go into the house because he might be caught like a thief. But when he gave him just in general the key, the Gentile's not afraid because, look, he gave me the key. Obviously, he wants me to watch over the house. But he told him, I just want you to watch the key. Hold on to the key. Obviously, it's just that he's giving him the key to watch and not the house, and therefore he has no permission to enter, and therefore the wine's going to be permitted. Halacha Gimel. Goy shesach Yisrael, if a Gentile hired a Jew, lidrach lo yein b'tahara, to press his wine with purity, kedei sheyeh mutar liYisrael, v'yikchu mimenu, that should be permitted for a Jew. I want this to be Jewish wine. I want the Jews to purchase it from me, says the Gentile. So he hired a Jew to do it. Now, but v'hoya hayayim b'veis ha-shagay, but where did they keep the wine? It was in the house of the Gentile himself. So it depends. Im hoya Yisrael zeh shashem hayayim, if the Jew who was watching over making this into the Jewish wine, where it wasn't handled by the Gentiles, dor b'yis ha-chatzar, if he lives in that same courtyard, zeh hayayim mutter, the wine's permitted. V'ava pishah pesach besuach, and even though the entrance is open, v'ashem enichnes v'yitzeh, and the Jew who's watching over, the mashgiach, he only comes in and goes out, he's not there the whole time, that's sufficient, because he's there and he does come and go. Now, and therefore, the non-Jew would be afraid to do anything with it because he's going to be caught by the mashgiach. Now, but if the Jew who's watching over the wine lives in another courtyard, then the wine is forbidden. And even if the lock and the seal is in the hand of the Jew, because unlike what we said in Halacha Aleph, here, shekivin shayayin shel goy, first of all, it's the Gentile's wine. And it's a b'shus, it's in his property. So he's not afraid to go ahead and forge and make another key, another way of getting in, although there's a key and a seal. He'll make another key, and he'll get into the house and he'll say, okay, what's going to be if they're going to find out if the jewel will chop me, will get me? They won't buy from me. He's not a thief because it's my wine. So therefore, although he wants it to make it like kosher Jewish wine, but he's at the end of the day, it's his wine, it's in his property, and therefore here the double seal is not going to be sufficient if the shomer lives in another courtyard. Halacha dalet. Now, afilu kasav agoy liYisrael, even if the Gentile writes to the Jew sheniskabu b'men hamois limkor loy behen yayin, that he already received from him the monies that he's going to sell him the wine, and but the wine remains in the property of the Gentile as collateral. So even if he wrote over to him and says, yes, it was already sold to you, Since ultimately, even though the Gentile wrote him, but the Jew cannot go ahead and extract and go ahead and take the wine from the Gentile until he actually pays up the monies. So ultimately, since it wasn't paid yet, it's still considered the Gentile's wine, and therefore for us it's going to be forbidden, because since he has an outstanding debt that's owed him on this wine, so therefore again, it's still his wine and it's and his property, so we're still concerned that he's going to do the Yayin Nesach with this wine. As we said in the previous halacha, unless if the Jew who's watching over it lives in that same courtyard itself. When he's there, then again, the Gentile is not going to do anything with it. Where for sure, even we said even when it's his own wine, for sure here he really wrote it as if it's the Jew's wine already. And the Jew doesn't have to be sitting there and watching it 24/7. It's enough that it becomes and it goes, like we explained in the previous halacha. And this is Bemishus Balayan, whether it's in the property of the Gentile who's the owner of the wine, Bemishus Koyacha, whether it's in the property of another Gentile. And the reason is that because one Gentile is not afraid of a fellow Gentile to do any tampering, because he'll let him do it when he's the guardian for some other purpose. So it doesn't help that it's by some other Gentile. At the end of the day, the Gentile's wine and it's the Gentile's property, it's not going to be effective unless you have the Shomer living over there in the courtyard, and at least that he's nichnas v'yotzei, so that the non-Jew is not going to do any tampering of Yayin Nesach with the wine. Now, the Rambam continues halacha hey regarding the property of the Gentile. Hoya Yayin Zeh HaTor Shel Goy Munach B'Shus Ram. Let's say this pure kosher wine of the Gentile was in the public domain. Or at least it was in a house that's open up to the public domain. And Jews are always constantly coming and going and passing by that area. So mut is permitted. Where although it's the Gentile's wine, but it's not in his property, it's at least in the public domain, or at least open to the public domain, and therefore he's not going to tamper with, and therefore it's going to be permitted. So too va'ashba, a garbage dump, v'chaloyin, or window, v'dekel, or a palm tree, even if it doesn't have fruits. But this is like public areas. People come to the garbage dump, people come to the window, they come to the trees. And therefore, so the barrel of wine that's in, the Gentile that's found over there, in the Oistra, will not make it forbidden. Because again, it's in the area of Rishus Rab. And so to buy some Pesuch Lashem, if the house is open to that area, again, it's like open up to the Rishus Rab. And therefore, that's a permitted area that the Gentile is not going to make it forbidden, because the Jews are always passing by. Halacha Zayin. If one has a courtyard that's divided with very shallow, very low down a barrier, and so it's a very low mechitza. And the Jew lives on one side of the border, and the Gentile lives on the other side. And so to two roofs. The Jew's roof was higher up. And the Gentile's roof was lower down. Or even if they're side by side. And there's a little barrier that separates between them. Although the hand of the Gentile could reach over to the Jew's property, we're not concerned that he had tampered with the Jew's wine, because if he would get caught, you're a thief. What are you reaching over into my roof, into my property? And therefore, there's no problem about Yayin Nesach, V'lim Shem Taras, and after that, of also for Taharis, regarding things if they're considered pure or not. Again, we have no concern that the Gentile would reach over, because he'd be afraid as if he's being caught as a thief. Halacha Ches Ram continues regarding depositing wine by a Gentile. It's permitted to deposit one's wine in a sealed vessel in the hand of a Gentile. But this is as long as he has two signs. This was called in Halacha a seal within a seal. As Ram says, Kate said, how so? So, let's say you sealed the barrel with a vessel that's not so tight as a cover. Like many people cover their barrels. And then you closed it off with cement, with clay. You sealed it with that. That's considered one seal. But let's say it was a tightly pressed vessel as a covering. And then you put clay on top of that. That's a seal within the seal, because the cover itself is tight. That's one seal. And then the clay on top is another seal. Let's say one tied the opening of the wine flask made out of leather. That's one seal. Let's say one inverted the opening of the flask inside itself. And then he tied on top of that. That's considered a seal within a seal. And v'chein kol shinui. So to any deviation, anything that the Gentile would not go through the effort to try to forge exactly what that seal is. Shemeshana midvam shein derech kol adam, that he's doing something different that not everyone usually does. That's like one seal, like taking inverting the opening of the flask inside of itself. And then the smearing with the clay or the nut that you're making is considered the second seal, and that would be sufficient for depositing the wine by the Gentile. Halacha test. Now, v'mhivkin b'yad goy b'chayis mecha. Let's say deposited by the Gentile with one seal. So that's forbidden to drink, but it's permitted to have benefit. And that's, however, the qualifier is sheyichel lekeren zavos, as long as he designated a corner where he keeps his wine by the Gentile. Because if not, then the Gentile wouldn't even be afraid to even touch it, and it would be forbidden to have benefit from it. And, however, regarding the prohibition about drinking it, that's only, we said, that when there's two signs, chesem b'tei chesem, only then would it be permitted to drink. But regarding the benefit, it's permitted as long as you have a designated place where at least you know that that's where it's kept. Halacha yud. Yain mevushel, cooked wine, v'asheicher, and beer, or yain she'irvim devar macherim, or wine that's mixed with other things, for example, devash v'shemen, honey and oil, v'chein achemet sotu vinegar, v'gvina and cheese, v'chalab and milk, v'chol she'isrum and divrisayim, and anything that's rabbinically prohibited, shefkidu biyad goy, that was deposited by a Gentile, so that's rabbinically prohibited when it's from the Gentile. One does not need two seals. If it's a rabbinic prohibition, it's sufficient with one seal. Regarding wine, v'basra, and meat, v'chatichas, dog, shem, b'simen, and a piece of fish that doesn't have a sign, shefkid miyad goy, the one deposited by a Gentile, so that which is biblical problems regarding being non-kosher, other things that we have biblical concerns for, then it needs to have two seals. Now, halacha yirav, says Rami Yerali, it appears to me, shekol mokum sherman be'in yizeh, anytime we said in these topics, that regarding our wine, that we're going to say it's forbidden to drink, but it's permitted to have benefit, because of the element of that if the Gentile touched it, for example, let's say when the Gentile touched it without intent. So he said that, oh, that's going to be forbidden to drink, but it's going to be permitted to have benefit from it. Says the Rambam, that's when the Gentile is an idol worshiper. But if the prohibition was because of a Gentile that handled it, that is not an idol worshiper, where, like we said, the case of where the wine was touched without intent, and it was an Arab that touched it without intent, where he banged on the opening of the barrel, that would even be permitted to drink, because there's no problem. There was two gzeiros, as we had said in the previous parak. There's one about that of intermarriage. Well, that's not a problem. That's only when it's their wine. Here it's the Jews' wine. And regarding the touching doesn't make it forbidden, because that's only because of idolatry, which that makes it Issa Hanah, and that's not a problem because he's not an idol worshiper. Anything that's similar to that would not be a problem even regarding drinking it. Now, Aval, however, Hamafkid Yain Biyad Ger Toshav. Someone deposits his wine by the resident convert, which is someone who is a Gentile, a non-Jew, but he keeps the seven Noahide laws. Or he didn't deposit him, he sent it with him, and then he went away at a great distance. Or he left his house open in a courtyard of a ger toshav. That is forbidden to drink. The reason for that is because since he's depositing it him by a long time, so that ger toshav might swap wines, and therefore that's problematic because of stam yayin of the Gentile. And the reason is says, because any concern of switching or forging, it appears to me, says the Rambam, all Gentiles are suspect regarding. And the reason is, since the wine is in their property, in their domain, so he could switch it without the Jew realizing. And therefore, that's problematic because at least I'm drinking, although it will not be prohibited because of that of benefit, because they're not a suspect regarding Avodah Zarah. Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam continues regarding other harchakas that the sages implemented because of Yayin Nesach. Says Rambam, Yesh Devarim, there are certain things, She'im Bem Isser Nesach Klal. There's no problem about the halacha at all of the concern of being poured for idolatry. But V'asso Isser Chacham Kedei L'Harchak Min HaNesach. But the sages said it's forbidden to distance us from this prohibition of the idolatrous libations. Ve'elam, and they are, Le'yimzik HaGoy HaMayim L'Tech HaYayin Shebiyad Yisrael. The Gentile should not pour the water into the wine that's in the hand of the Jew. Why? Might come to do the opposite. The Jew might be holding the water, and the Gentile would be pouring the wine. Oh, that's a problem, because he's pouring the wine. Here, he's pouring the water, he's not doing anything. But because it might be mixed up, so therefore they said that's prohibited too. So to magas, the Gentile should not be transporting the grapes to the wine press, even though he's not doing anything with grapes, there's no problem. Because then he might come to start pressing it, might come to touch the wine. So to below Yisrael, Yisrael, he shouldn't assist the Jew when he's pouring from one vessel to another vessel, because he might leave the vessel in the hand of the Gentile. It comes out that the wine's coming from the power, from the strength, from the force of the Gentile. Now, vimsiya, if he did assist, or he poured the water, or he brought the grapes, these cases that we just spoke about, mutz is going to be permitted because it's only the ketchila that we said that it's rabbinically prohibited, but not after the fact. Halach yidal. It's also permitted for a Gentile to smell in our barrels of wine. So it's permitted for a Jew to smell the aroma of their yayin nesach. And there's no prohibition over there, because the smelling aroma is nothing. There's no substance to it. There's no concern from them to us or us from them. Ram continues regarding the prohibitions of having benefit from even the monetary value of yayin nesach. As Ram explains, Kvar Bayan already explained in Hilchas Ishes in the fifth parak in Halacha Beis, Shekol Davishu Asabanoya, anything that has a prohibition of benefit, Im Avar Machar, if one violated that law and he sold it, Dam of Mutaran, the monetary value, the money you got from that sale is permitted, because it's Chalipin, it's not the actual thing itself. Chos Mabay Dezar Mishamsha, except for an idol and its attending elements, with the Karevish law and the sacrifices that they do for it, behind Chinnis Nasach law, what we're discussing here, and the wine that's poured for it as a libation. And moreover, Vechmir Chacham Bistamian, the sages were so stringent even for the regular wine of a Gentile, where Leah's Dhamma assumed that also even the monetary value of that sale should be forbidden, Kidmei Yayin Chinnisach la Baidazar, like the monetary value of the wine that was poured actually as a libation for the Baidazar. On the figure, therefore, Goisha Socha is Yisrael, Lasses Amay Beyayin, if a Gentile hires a Jew to work for him with the Gentile's wine, Schari Aser, the payment of his wages is forbidden, because the rabbis penalize him like as if he's working for Yayin Nesach, which those wages are forbidden. Halacha Design, V'chein Tzutu Hasech Eschamar Lohavi Lav Yayin. If he hires if he rents the donkey to bring on it his wine, or the Gentile rents the boat from the Jew to bring his wine in it, the wages from that rental is forbidden. If he gives him money, he has to throw it to the Dead Sea, so that no one has benefit from it. If he did give him of his wages, ksus, garments, a kalim, or vessels, a paris of fruits, so harizi yisrafisin, you have to burn them, v'yikvar efrin, you have to bury the ashes. Again, Kedesh Allah Lohanes, but that no one has benefit because it has an element of a Vedazar, which is forbidden for anyone for any amount. Halacha Yitzayin. Socha Legoi Chamor Likrvalov. Let's say you rented out your donkey to a Gentile for riding purposes. V'nichlav Lugin Shal Yayin. Now, as a customer, he put his baggage with it, which had the jugs of wine. So then, Schar Motor. So then, those wages are going to be permitted. Now, schar l'shabekah the yayin nesach. Let's say he actually paid the Jew to break his jugs of yayin nesach. Then, for sure, there's schar mutter, the wages are permitted. And b'tavil of bracha, says the Rambam, blessing should come on him, and they should be ma'id b'tifl, because he's minimizing the amount of avodah zarah that there is in the world. Halacha yitches. Hasarich has a pilot. Someone hires a worker of Amalei and tells him, havali me'chav yashal sheicha b'me'a prutas. I want you to transport for me these 100 barrels of beer for 100 prutas. The nimtza achas ben yayin comes out the 100 bottles of beer. There was one of them that actually was wine. Then schari kule aser. All of his wages are forbidden. The reason for that is because it really was one act of work, where it was one job, and part of that job, which is not nullified, had in it the payment for that one barrel of wine, and that's forbidden. So the whole payment is forbidden. Now, in contrast, nalochi yates of the Rambam. Let's say, says to him, Havali Chavis Bepruta, Chavis Bepruta. I want you to take for me a barrel for Pruta, a barrel for Pruta, a barrel for Pruta. The Hever, and he transports all 100. The Nimta B'Neim Chavish Al-Yan, turns out that one of them is not really beer, it's really wine. And Schar Chavish Al-Yan Asas, and the payment for the barrel of wine that he transported, that's forbidden. Shar Schar Mutter, but the rest of the wages are permitted because each one had a separate contract, so to speak, for the transport, and therefore the bottles of beer are going to be permitted. Halacha Chav. Rambam continues regarding this monetary value of the Ainesa, which is forbidden, with absorption, meaning to say that it's not straight up. As Rambam says, meaning regarding the, as Rambam says, Umani Yisrael, he says, Jewish craftsmen, Shashach lem goy, that the Gentiles sent to them, chavash shel yayin, a barrel of wine, bischarim, for their wages, meaning someone that did a job for him, and he paid him with a bottle of wine. So mutar she'yemer lo, so it's permitted for the Jewish contractor, the Jewish craftsman, whatever it is, who didn't buy the wine, the Gentile owes him money. So therefore, the money that he's giving him is not really transfer for the wine. He could tell him, no, don't give us wine, give us the monetary value. The problem is, but if it already had been taken into their properties, then us it's forbidden, because once they already took the wine, it's already, they got paid already. Now when they want to give it back to the Gentile, get the money, that's already the exchange for Yayin Nesach, and that would be forbidden. Halacha Chafalth. Yisrael Shayin Neisha B'Goy Mana. If a Jew was a creditor, and he was owed by the Gentile a mana, a certain amount of money. Halacha Goy Yamocha B'Dezar V'Yayin Nesach. So the Gentile didn't have what to pay, so he sold his idol, he sold his Yayin Nesach. And he brought the monies to pay up the Jewish creditor. Here's a mutter. That money is permitted because it has nothing to do with him. It's not. He's just getting paid the monies. Now, but if he tells him before he sells it, he says, look, I got no money for you. He says, wait for me. I'll go sell my Avayda Zara and my Yayin Nesach. I'll give you the monies. So even if it's not even necessarily Yayin Nesach, it's just the regular wine of a Gentile, which is included in the gzera of Yayin Nesach. And he sells the stuff and he brings it. And he's also, that money is forbidden. Because the Jew wanted the sustainment of that Avodah Zarah and of that Yayin Nesach. He didn't want anything to happen to it because that's his collateral. So he wanted that to be there. Therefore, in a sense, that's getting the value from that Avodah Zarah to get paid from that, and therefore that's going to be forbidden. Halacha beis, v'chein gir v'goy, shayi shutafin. Similar cases for a Gentile and a convert were partners. Uvol lachlik, and now they're coming to divide the partnership. Ein gir yochel leim l'goy. The convert cannot tell the Gentile, okay, look, tell at the avodah zarah, you take the avodah zarah that we have, v'ani mos, and I'll take the money. At the yain, you take the yain nesach, v'ani peres, and I'll take the peres. You can't. Shayreit zvik yum kadesh yitzah connect. He wants that to remain so that he gets what he needs, and I get my kosher stuff. No, you can't, because you want that to be there. That's like essentially getting pleasure from that. Now, avol gir v'goy shiyosha sabim goy, but in contrast, let's say a convert and a Gentile, and he came from a non-Jewish family, he converted, so but he's one of the family members. And now, shiyosha sabim goy, they're inheriting their father, who's also a Gentile. Yochel lemeloi, the ger could tell his brother, the guy, tolata v'dizar, v'animos, you take the idols, and I take the money. Atayan, you take the wine, v'anisham, and I'll take the oil. Because kalhu shekilu biyusha sagir, it's a leniency that the sages made regarding the inheritance that applies to a convert. That he shouldn't go back to his bad ways, because if he realizes, look, I'm out of the whole inheritance, out of the will, he might go decide, you know, I'm not going to be Jewish anymore. But the problem is, if mishabolda shows again, if it already came to the property of the care, then we said us, then we can't be lenient, because I'm literally getting benefit from the chalipin of the Yayin Nesach and from the Vedazar, that would be forbidden. But beforehand, he could tell him, even though it's Reitz B'Kiyumai, he could tell him, you take it the Vedazar and I'll take the monies. Halacha of Gimel, the Rambam continues regarding the transfer of the ownership of the wine, regarding when there's a transaction. The Rambam says, Yisrael Shemocha Yein Le'Lagai. The Jew is selling his wine to a Gentile. So, Pasak, if he had a set price in the wine, actually, Madudle, before it was measured out, in the sale, dum of mutar. So the monies that he's getting from the sale are permitted. And the reason for that is shemisha pasak, because once it was a set price, so some chadaitoi. So he's relying that on the purchase, because everyone knows what the sale price is. Umisha mashach, so when the Gentile draws the wine to himself, so kana, he already acquired it. And the monies remain as a loan by the Gentile, because the Gentile has already acquired it b'mishicha when he drew it to himself. And v'yayin nesach in the nasach yigabay. It didn't become yayin nesach until the Gentile touched it. Nimtza b'shas mechir. So it comes out at the time of the sale, when the sale was finalized, hayimutr. That was permitted because that was already beforehand. And therefore the money he's getting is not an exchange for the yayin nesach. Now, let's say madalai. Let's say he measured out the wine and gave it to the Gentile, and the Gentile took it to himself. Actually, pasuk adam, before there was a price that was already set on. Then dam of asur, and then that money he's going to get from that sale is going to be forbidden. The reason for that is, because he's not so relying on that this is going to happen. Maybe the seller, the Jew, is going to ask him too much money, and he's not going to end up buying this wine. Afa pisha mashach, even though he already took it himself, but he's not confident that this is going to go through. It turns out when the Gentile already touched it, when he already took it to himself, he didn't definitively make up his mind that he was going to buy it. He says, how much are you asking for? So, and the wine already became forbidden when he touched it, and therefore, it already was like stam yayin of the Gentile by the time the sale happened, and that's getting benefit from the exchange of the yayin nesach, and therefore that's going to be forbidden. Now, halach of dal. When do we say the previous halacha is b'shemada Yisraeli l'kelov? When the Jew is measuring out the wine to sell to the Gentile in the Jew's own vessels. Avlamadad l'kli ha'goy. But if let's say he's measuring it out in the Gentile's vessels, where there's some remnants of the Gentile's wine in there, and therefore the wine becomes prohibited when it falls into the vessel, when he's just measuring it out in there, before the Gentile acquired it because he didn't even do meshicha, he didn't even pull it to himself. So when the Jew is going to take the monies, he's taking the monetary value of Yayin Nesach that he's getting the transfer. Or even if it's the Jew's vessel, but it's in the hand of the Gentile. The Gentile is holding it in the ear where it's shaking, and therefore the wine is going to be forbidden when he's measuring it out over there because of the shaking, which is like touching it. Then tzarech likaches adamim. Then the Jew has to first take the monies. Oh, and then the Gentile acquires it with the monetary payment. So then the wine automatically becomes like the Gentiles. And then only then should he measure out the wine into the bottle that he's selling to the Gentile. Now, let's say he measured out into that vessel and the Jew didn't take monies. So even though there was a set price, the monies that he's going to get from the trance is going to be forbidden. The reason is, in both cases, the moment the wine gets just into the vessel, nesar, it became forbidden because it's kistem yayin, like stam yayin, where the connection is forbidden, like we said, into the vessel of the non-Jew, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Halacha faces the Ramban, noisin dinu lechen v'nigay. If someone gives a dinner, a certain type of currency, to a non-Jewish storekeeper, it's a non-Jewish store. Now, since he gave monies to the storekeeper, before, as we'll see in the case, before he sent his workers over there, so it's as if he purchased from the storekeeper whatever the storekeeper is going to give to his worker. So it comes out that the worker is eating from the homeowner. Now, so he gave money on credit to the store. And he said to his Gentile worker, he says, look, they go to that non-Jewish pub, that non-Jewish tavern, that non-Jewish store, and go ahead and eat and drink from the storekeeper. And I'll make a cheshbon, I'll already make a calculation. You have to be concerned that maybe the Gentile worker is going to order a glass of wine. It's like as if the Jew bought for him Yayin Nesach and gave him to drink. And he's paying up the debt of the food from the Yayin Nesach. Okay, the same thing applies to the laws of Shemitah is going to be forbidden. For example, let's say he gives a dinner to a Jewish, but ignorant Jewish storekeeper who is not careful with the laws of the agriculture of halacha, Israeli, and he tells his Jewish worker, you know, go and eat from that store, and I'll already make a cheshbon with him. If the worker is going to eat something that there's no meiser, aser, that's forbidden, and that's his responsibility because it's like as if he's buying that. Now, halacha vav, but let's say he tells them, go ahead and eat and drink with this coin. He tells them, look, ichlu shesu olai minachemini, bani pereya. So it's not like he gave already on credit. No, it's on debt. He says that, put on the bill. He says, go ahead and eat and drink, and I'll pay it up already. So although he's obligated for that debt, but since his debt was not specific, in other words, there's no specific monies, and therefore the balabais, the owner, the employer, was not obligated. He didn't buy from the owner what the worker is going to be eating. Comes out the worker is not eating from his own stuff. He's eating from the store, and the Jew is just going to pay the store. I reason why that's permitted. These cases we spoke about, let's say he ordered a glass of wine, it's not for the laws of Shemitah, not for if it wasn't tithe, because again, that wasn't the Jewish employer doing. He's just paying that up. But again, if he already gave money beforehand, that's already concerned because that's as if he's buying that, and then that would be his liability. Allah Chavzan Ram continues regarding the agency for selling Yain Nesach. So the Rambam says, Melech Shei Mechalik Yain Elam. If there was a Gentile king, who he would divide his wine among the populace, but he would require them to pay however much the king wanted to take from the people. Now, so in such a situation, a person should not tell a Gentile, look, take 200 zuz, and go in my place to the stores to the king, that the Gentile should go and purchase the wine which was written in the Jews' name, meaning everyone in the land had to go ahead and do this purchase from the king's wines. Because if he sends the Gentile in his place, it's going to be as if the Jew is selling to the Gentile his wine, which he has to take from the king, and that's getting benefit from the Yayin Esef, and he shouldn't, the Yitin HaGoy HaDam LaMelech, and that the Gentile should give the monies to the king, that shouldn't be done. Aval Emel, what he could tell him is, hey, look, I'm a here, take 200 zuz, will maintain him in Oitz and save me from the storehouse. So although he's going to be getting wine, that has nothing to do with him, he's just paying up this liability, and then the Jew's not getting any benefit from it. But if he does in the first way, it's like as if he's going to be selling that wine to the Gentiles, he's going to have benefit from that Yayin Nesach. In the last halacha of Ches, the Rambam continues regarding an exception to the law of the prohibition of having benefit from Yayin Nesach regarding when it comes up in the case of damages. If a Gentile touched the wine of a Jew against his will, forcibly, so you're only allowed to sell it to that Gentile who made the wine forbidden because of making it into Yayin Nesach. And the reason for that is, since the Gentile intended to harm, to damage, and to make the Jewish wine forbidden, it's like as if he broke the Jew's wine or he burnt it. He has an obligation to pay up for damages. So the nimzu comes out, the money that you're taking from the Gentile is the meha hezek, is the monetary value of damages, and not the monies of sale. So although one's not allowed to sell to have benefit from Yayin Nesach, but for being damaged, whatever damages it is, a person is could collect damages from the Gentile, and therefore he's allowed to quote-unquote sell it to be compensated for the damages of where it was kosher wine, and now he made it not kosher wine, that damage, he could be compensated, and therefore quote-unquote he could sell it to get compensated for the damages from specifically that Gentile who forcibly touched it.